Let's please turn your Bibles to Proverbs 28:10. And we are recording, right, Miranda? And Proverbs 28:10 and 11 we finished with last week. And the title last week was that evil men do not understand justice because they're evil. They don't want justice. But the righteous want justice. And actually, what the righteous do is they come to grips with the fact that there should be justice. And then we realize that that justice means that we should be judged, that we should all be judged. And then we come to realize, wow, I deserve to be separated from a holy God. And we humble ourselves and cry out to God and for his forgiveness, his offer of forgiveness and mercy for the things that we have done. And then we stand in such awe of his love and compassion for us that we want to do what he wants to do. And we're desiring the total justice of living in a place where there is nothing but justice, nothing but just things. And we got the door of Jesus to get into that place. But the wicked, they're still in rebellion. Their evil, wicked, prideful hearts are still in rebellion, and they don't want justice because justice means that they would answer to God, which is why they hate to even hear the mention of his name. Proverbs 28:10, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. And so the evil way, the people of evil way, they make it difficult for the people that fear God, but the evil will fall upon the evil, and the good that were persecuted, good being defined as your life is hidden in Jesus, you're forgiven, they are going to inherit good, eternal life with God in heaven. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding searches him out, discerns that the wisdom or that the rich man in his foolishness is wise in his own eyes. And we know that we don't want to go there, right? We should not have any envy for the mover shakers of the world that don't have a relationship with Jesus at all. We should envy people's deeper relationship with God than our own. That's what I envy. I envy Paul. I love my Jesus who made a way for me to have everlasting life. And I aspire that he would get more in charge of my life. And I desire, to be, more godly, like godly people of the past and the present, than to be like worldly, rich, powerful uppities of this world. And the world is so different than that. They want to be the movers, shakers of the world instead of the ones that fear God. Verse 12, when the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. And so it really it's saying when the righteous are in power, then the righteous rejoice, right? Because if a righteous person's in power, then they're doing things in accordance with God's law and his wisdom, and then everybody that fears God and loves his law, it rejoice, right? We all rejoice when something good happens. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. Why? Why? What kind of men hide themselves? The wicked don't so much hide themselves, do they? Because they got a wicked person, and they want to just, hey, everything's going to be great. But the righteous men hide themselves, who are rejoicing when there's God-fearing people in charge. We're hiding ourselves because what does the wicked want to do? The wicked wants to persecute and kill the righteous because they're inspired by Satan to do so. That's why there's persecution. Again, the State of the Union address when President Trump made everybody in America aware that was watching about the North Korean. And when the father had gone away and come back, I think it was a father that came back, and they said, did you see Christians? Can you imagine the evil and the wickedness that it's because you saw Christians when you were out of the country that's why we now have to torture and kill you, is because we can't let any God-fearing, Jesus-loving responsibility come into, or, you know, person come into Korea, into North Korea. How horrible it would be to for that to have happened. Verse 13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes him will have mercy. And again, one thing I've noticed, how rare it is for people to confess their sins. this has been a really incredible week and an exception to that. As you know, today, this doctor that made a goof in surgery on our friend from the church, just so apologetic, so owning up. I am so sorry. Some could say, including me, well, they know they have to. It's not like they're going to hide it. And it's better to do it. See, they probably figure out it's better to do it because than to try and hide it up, because then you'll make them really mad. Isn't that something that we're kind of created with, this desire to show mercy when somebody says, would you forgive me? Isn't that, what is that? That's what God does. See, when we say, God, I'm sorry I sinned against you, then he says, oh, okay, you're humble and you've confessed your sin. And so I want to give you my mercy. So, but other people, no matter how much you try, you give them the facts and they just lie and dig deeper in their lies and they cannot apologize. They're narcissistic. They can't possibly deal with anything they've ever done in their whole life being wrong. And so they have to attack the person that comes to them with any wrongdoing. It's just really obnoxious, isn't it? And so we should be what God's created us to do, be humble and to admit the sins that we've committed and let it all come. Another example was meeting with a friend that, you know, there was and it had been a while since we had been together. And I said, hey, you know, this guy said this. And because of that, we should be able to get together, because he had told you not to fellowship with me. And so let's get together. Because then he said that nobody should tell people who to fellowship with. So I call him up and go, hey, you know, when you disfellowshipped me a while ago for no good reason, seriously, not just because I'm saying it, and so he said, oh, okay, yeah, let's do get together. And it was just a sweet time of, you know, forgive me. I just shouldn't have been paying. I shouldn't have been listening. I should have never told you I wasn't going to fellowship. And, you know, and I'm sorry for the fact that I wasn't being sensitive to how some of the conversations that were happening were probably discouraging to you. It was just a cool thing. And I say all that to say, let's be the exception to the social world that we live in. Let's be willing to, you know, husbands, wives, children, co-workers and everything. Let's be quick to just say, you know, will you forgive me for this? Because I shouldn't have done it. Shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have done it. Shouldn't have thought it. And I just want to be open. And because then we get to experience the mercy of God. It's a really, really cool thing. It's God's way. It's not the world's way. The world's way is self-preservation and pride and arrogance and narcissism and psychopathic whatever. And all bred by our social media. Verse 14, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So you're either reverent towards God, you're holy, I'm not, you're watching everything, and I desire to serve you, and while you're watching for you to be pleased, I get to live a happy life because I'm in a relationship with God, not wanting to sin and rebel against him. Or you can harden yourself against God and just not care what he thinks, not care what he says, and live a life of calamity. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. By the way, if you ever see a roaring lion in the woods, what do you think you're going to, what do you think is going to happen next? You're going to die. If you see a charging bear, yep, you're going to die. Don't try and outrun a bear, by the way. They're really quick when they're after food. And so is the wicked ruler. When a wicked person gets in charge, and do you realize how close we were? How incredibly close we were to having an unbelievable evil ruling over a country. And I can only imagine. And I am so thankful. I hope you're thankful. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave us a little reprieve. Not that we got a totally God-fearing person, but we almost had a very wicked person. And this would have been coming true. And there are many wicked people today, absolutely wicked people today, who are in charge in various different local, state, federal positions of authority ruling over the people. An article in WorldNetDaily.com yesterday was about Sarah Silverman. You ever heard of Sarah Silverman? I never knew about her. And she sold her soul to the devil. She was in a telethon or a fundraiser, a television fundraiser for abortion, raising funds for abortion. Now, that's wicked. By every definition of the word, that's just abject wickedness. And in that, she, Hollywood actress and comedian Sarah Silverman declared that laws banning the use of aborted fetuses in food products would make me want to eat an aborted fetus. Can you imagine that wickedness? That's what she said on national TV. And see, the thing is, that's wicked. That is demonic wicked. That's cannibalism. You know, she's a joker. She's a comedian. And, you know, the fact that she can make a living in this country with this kind of mindset is telling of our country, isn't it? And see, back in Solomon's day, you had no choice over whether the wicked were going to rule or the righteous going to rule. It depended on whose son was going to be ruling after your king. You could have a good king and then his son is a wicked king and you didn't have any choice. How in the world do we have so many wicked people ruling in state, local, and federal government in this country? It's because the people vote for them. And that means that the people have themselves been given over to the sway of the wicked one, and they have not the fear of God. They do not care. There should be absolutely no person, no God-fearing person should ever flip the lever. Dating myself, I used to go into a voting booth and flip a lever on somebody. Now you got to punch the hole. Actually, now you got to touch the screen that gets redone by Soros voting machines. But no God-fearing person should ever have flipped the switch voting for somebody who embraces abortion. You have to be godless, evil to support the slaughtering of children in the womb. And yet I know professing Christians that they don't care. They do. And so check yourself. How could I know? Verse 16. A ruler who lacks understanding, and really in context with this verse, is covetous. A ruler who is covetous is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. So, in other words, what we should be looking, and this is applicable to how you vote. You know, every 2 years, we got to figure out what to do. Sometimes sooner than that, depending on local governments. Try and find somebody that won't sell their soul for a campaign dollar. Try and find somebody that won't do that, because that's what it's saying. And I was in Sudan with a pastor, a Calvary Chapel pastor in Hawaii, and he had been a representative in the state of Hawaii. And he was telling us, he wasn't at the time that he and I were fellowshipping together, and he was explaining to us how the system works. And he was saying, see, like, you guys are sitting there, we're talking. What my mind would have been thinking is, how am I going to talk to these guys to get them to open up their checkbook for my next campaign? He said, it's just the way it is. And I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't do it anymore. And you compare that to Rehoboam. He just looked at the people. See, again, but the one who lacks understanding, Rehoboam, that we've been talking about on Sunday morning, King Rehoboam, son of Solomon, who knew his dad taxed the people. So he wants something. His dad wanted something, a bunch of building projects, a lot of nice buildings, nice houses and all this other stuff, and taking care of a bunch of women. And so then he comes and he goes, actually, I want more of your stuff. I want more. And so he was a great oppressor. And So we should have people that aren't looking for the people stuff. They should be it when we look for those that would represent us. Verse 17, a man burdened with bloodshed will flee into a pit. Let no one help him. Somebody that's been a murderer is going to be looking for a place to go hide, and don't let anybody help him hide. Let him come to justice as somebody who shed blood. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. Now, sometimes in this life, but what? Certainly when they stand before God. And that's what we can, you know, because sometimes those that are perverse in their ways, they live a long time, don't they? They live a long time. They stay in power a long time. They're untouchables in so many different ways. And the Christian can just go, yeah, but I know what happens when they stand before God. And they will fall very suddenly. And it's a really long trip down. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity, laziness, will have poverty enough. And frivolity isn't just laziness. It's pursuing of vain things, going along with Ecclesiastes in our Sunday morning service. If you're just all into vain things, then you're going to have poverty enough because the money just flows. Oh, I want this, I want that. And all of a sudden, you're going to be poor enough. Somebody sent me an email today saying this is going to be disastrous. And it's true. And I'm going to have a handout on it. And that the news is today that virtual reality porn is about to hit mainstream with many purveyors of, you just put on the glasses, you put on the virtual reality shades, and I guess you can dial up whatever you want. And the article is written from a Christian perspective. The church isn't ready for this. This is going to be so intoxicating to this perverted world. And so I'm saying this tonight so that you do get ready. The technology to appeal to the fleshly, the fallen fleshly lust pleasures of human beings, male and female, is ramping up beyond what it is now, which is unprecedented and nearly is so destructive, I can't see a future. And so, guys and women, I mean, suck it up and just realize you're marching up Hamburger Hill, Vietnam. The devil is coming with everything he's got. And we've got to just keep on serving Jesus and say no to this stuff. Tell your kids no to technology, because if they get this and then their friends are going to say, have you seen the virtual reality glasses yet? No, I know that there's the devil inside this stuff. We have to show them that the devil is inside of this stuff and it is destroying people. And even then, I can't see that a kid who goes to high school or junior high or whatever is going to be able to say, well, let me just take a peek. Yeah, my parents just gave me these. You know, want to try them on? You know, there was a Funniest Home Video, Wendy and I were watching several weeks ago, and they were showing people putting on whatever their virtual reality was, and these grown people are just, they put them on. Somebody hands them to them, they put them on, and they freak out. They fall out of their chair. They fly out. It must have been the roaring lion is coming, just about to jump into their glasses and into their life or whatever it was. It didn't tell us what it was, but it was so real that they just are flying to get out of the way of whatever was coming their way. They couldn't even, knowing it was fake, they still couldn't keep from realizing it was real or keep from thinking it was real. Imagine that kind of reality. I've never looked through one. I'm never going to look through one. Will you join me? How many are going to join me? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I will never, ever, with God's help, to make me not even accidentally, you know, somebody disguises it as something else, and no, I don't need it. frivolity is killing us, absolutely destroying the Christian church and its mission here on earth. Verse 20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Faithful man's not looking for others to get them rich somehow, to being covetous. May God help us to just be satisfied with what we have and not look at people with dollar signs ringing up in our head. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. What do you think it's talking about here? So who is it that can show partiality? Who's the worst person to be able to show partiality? It's a judge. It's talking about a judge. It's not good to ever show partiality because for a piece of bread, meaning what? A bribery. For a piece of bread will transgress by taking the bribe and ruling because of the bribe instead of the justice of the case before them. Does that ever happen in our legal system? How about all that we're hearing with the memo, the FISA court, everything else? At the highest levels of our country, there's incredible bribery. Another report that the tarmac meeting with the Attorney General of the United States was based on Hillary's going to win and you'll get a Supreme Court seat. There's supposedly that was the offer that was made. Just we are so corrupt. We are on the very verge of losing everything that we have ever had as a country, because had it tipped over the other way, then there'd be complete lawlessness at this point, all because of, you know, hey, pay me into this foundation that I have, and then I will do this for you, and I'll do that for you, and that is politics in America. And what's going to change that? The only thing that's going to change that is a whole bunch of God-fearing people rising up to get saved, to have the fear of God, to read a verse out of Proverbs that show partiality is not good because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. I won't transgress. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to let justice. I'm not going to take presents from people and then I owe them somehow. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. What's the chance of that happening? When everybody's getting given virtual reality glasses and gets the devil himself coming in through their glasses, and they can go into all the grocery stores and get the devil of the bottle in, and you can go into almost, you know, increasing number of states and go get the devil of marijuana into their veins, and you got the devil everywhere. It's tragically, hate to tell you this, it's not going to change. A little bit of slowing down right now. And if we really wanted it to change, we would leave all frivolity, go door to door, and tell people about Jesus. Except they'd call 911 and tell you that there's a criminal in the neighborhood trying to mess with people's lives. I used to do that, by the way. Often, when I first became a Christian, it was an often practice of groups of young kids. Let's go door to door and tell people about Jesus. And we would tell people about Jesus. And they would let us do it. And it wasn't weird. It wasn't like people would say they didn't want to hear, but they were civil about it. You didn't think that they were going to call 911 because there wasn't 911. Sorry to date again. But there wasn't the issues of thinking, are they going to come back? They're just pretending and they're going to come back and rob me and all this stuff. See, that's what's happened to our culture. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. Really? Does a person with evil eye who hastens after riches always end up in poverty? No, not in this life. But in the life to come, poverty will certainly come upon him. They're not going to take it to hell with them. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. If they're willing to, Proverbs 9:8, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. You'll find a person who is willing to be corrected will appreciate it. Verse 24, appreciate a rebuke. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same as companion to a destroyer. Now let's turn to Matthew 15:2. This should ring a bell, doesn't it? Proverbs is saying, and every Pharisee and scribe would have been totally aware of Proverbs. And Proverbs says here, whoever robs his father and mother and says, it's no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer. I don't need to take care of my father and mother, which Jesus makes clear is one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother is a Ten Commandment that includes, in a God-fearing relationship kind of thing, that the kids are going to try and take care of their parents in old age because there wasn't Social Security back then. Matthew 15:2, the scribes and Pharisees are getting on Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now, there is nothing in the law that says you must elaborately wash your hands before you eat bread. It does not say that anywhere. So that's why it's a tradition of the elders. It's their tradition. Jesus answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your traditions. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death. Now, one of those is the Ten Commandments. One of the other ones is out of the law of Moses. Not the Ten Commandments. The one about he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death, is part of the law, but not of the Ten Commandments. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and mother. So the scribes and Pharisees were telling the people who were saying, you know, my mother and father, they're elderly, and I'm supposed to take care of them because of honor your father and mother. And they said, well, you know, it's just as much of an honor if you take what you were going to give to your parents so they could eat and be warm with clothing. If you stick it in that plate to God, that's just as honoring to God. You just go stick it in the plate. Oh, okay. In fact, you'll be blessed by God to just stick it in the plate. And thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines and commandments of men. So what is it that, how can it be vain to worship God? He says, they worship me in vain. It means they're not saved. All these scribes and Pharisees are not saved at all. They're going through the motion of playing religion, but because they do not have respect for the law of God and make their own little traditions of importance, then they don't really worship in God. And they had the warning from the book of Proverbs, you better not do that, because you're a companion to a destroyer. Who's the greatest destroyer? You're a companion of Satan. And see, because the destroyer is Satan. That's what Hasatan is, the adversary, the destroyer. Hasatan is the Hebrew for Satan, where we get Satan. So going back to 28:24, and we'll close with 25 actually. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Yeah. Actually, should we try to finish 28? Okay, he who is a proud heart. Let's turn away from pride. You know, again, this week, it was such a blessing to... I haven't heard, forgive me for... seen it in other people. Forgive me, I am wrong. It was just shocking. And not just, I mean, not to me. Again, to the doctor, you know, the doctor had nothing to do with me. And I just haven't seen it in a long time. And it comes from the true humility. Humility and empathy for others. See, the other thing that's lost is empathy. To not really think about how my actions are affecting somebody else, because why do I have to apologize to them? I can't even think or care about what I did to them. So we've lost empathy and we've lost humility to say, forgive me. And pride is stirs up strife because there isn't that the relationship suffers when everybody's walking around in their own pride. May God help us to not be prideful. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. I don't know how many times I said, just trust, or heard professing Christians say, just trust your heart. No, don't. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What are we supposed to say? Trust God. Trust his word. Don't listen. My heart, my wicked heart, it wants to self-preserve. It's God's word that changes my heart to conform to his way. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct. Do not lean on your own understanding, your own heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Again, as we've emphasized before, the really poor, I mean, like, they don't have something to eat. They don't have clothes. Again, I suggest giving people something to eat if they need to eat. Give them clothes. Give them something instead of bucks that oftentimes goes to something that they don't need. When the wicked arise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. A lot of people were thinking they're going to have to go hide themselves. And we know from a very reliable source that the wicked are coming, don't we? If we are in the last days, the wicked are coming. They are going to rule. We're going to feel like hiding ourselves. But like I said on Sunday, we're here for people to know the hope that they can have in Jesus. And what's the worst that a wicked world can do? They can kill us. Send us to go to be the place that we're dying to go to. Some people can't wait to get to Hawaii. I'm dying to get to heaven. And so, we just got to remember that, right? Not, of course, God gives us self-preservation so we all don't just die to go to heaven. Because he wants us here and to not live in frivolity. Isn't that a cool word, if you can say it? Been working on it. Worked the whole day. No. Frivolity. Turn away from vanity. Live for Jesus till he comes. Father, we thank you for your word. God, help it to be real in our life. Help us to be humble. Help us to, when we've wronged, to say, God, forgive me. And to the person, will you please forgive me? And I want to empathize and God, we want your Holy Spirit to help us to get back to the way it's supposed to be and not to fall into the traps of our society. And it's fallenness and self-preservation and pride that keeps us from being able to be humble, Lord. And just we love you for your word. We continue to just lift up our brother Will tonight, Lord, who is recovering from another surgery, and his deep desire and need to get healthy again so he can serve you. He's so excited about the day he can get back to being more diligent in his love and walk to you, Lord. And we pray you'd answer that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship God in this song.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you.
Anybody know where that comes from?
Psalm
51. And what's the occasion of Psalm 51? David confessing to God, I've committed adultery, I've committed murder. You know, he's basically coming to God and becoming humble before God after he'd been covering it up in pride. And create a new heart in me. What an awesome thing. That's what God does to all of us when we go from pride to humility and say, God, forgive me and give me a new heart. And that process goes from now till we go to be with him. So God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.